Blackfin Web.
You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, What is the Holy Spirit's Mission According to Jesus in John 16?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're continuing our sermon series that we've been doing on the Holy Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing us. Last week, we looked at how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and how we can hear Him better. Today, let's take a look at the Holy Spirit's mission, His purpose in the world, according to Jesus Christ in what we just read a moment ago, John chapter 16. Now, if you look at other parts of the scriptures, you'll see some of the other things the Holy Spirit does. So John 16 isn't an entire list of everything the Holy Spirit does, but man, it's the best thing I've ever heard concerning an overall fantastic word from Jesus about what the Holy Spirit's mission in the world would be. What He came to do for the world and unbelievers, and what He came to do for believers. What is the Holy Spirit's mission then? Let's take a look at that today, according to Jesus, short, concise, and right to the point, so that we can rejoice in it, actively engage in and participate with Him in it, and be encouraged by it. So, the Holy Spirit's mission, according to Jesus, John 16. What can we say of that? Well, let's start out by just reading it. We did most of that just a moment ago, but let's take a look again here. Jesus says in John 4, this is just before He goes to the cross, He says to His disciples, I didn't say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. And then He says this, and He says, and when He comes, He will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more. Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He won't speak in His own authority. But whatever He hears, He'll speak. And He'll declare to you the things that are to come. He'll glorify me. For He'll take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said to you that I'll take what is mine and declare it to you. So that's Jesus talking about the mission, the purpose, the aim, the job of the Holy Spirit in the world. What is the mission then? Actually, as I read this, seven parts. It's a sevenfold mission. The first three are to the world, to unbelievers, of which we were all a part. And the last four are to His saved people, Christians. So let's take a look and see. What's the first thing that the Holy Spirit's mission is in the world? What did He come to do for the world, for unbelievers, for everybody, of which we also at one time were a part? When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says, He will convince the world concerning sin. He'll convince the world concerning sin. So say these words with me. Convince the world concerning sin. Does that sound like a nice, sweet, kind, soft cooing kind of a message?
Yeah.
Where He's going to be very positive and affirming to the world and say, come on, guys, you already know what sin is, but I'm going to tweak your slightly erroneous views and just hone them and make them a little bit better. I'll convince you about these things. Is that what He's saying? No, the word for convince here is really better translated convict. In other words, hit them hard. They've got to see the foul gravity and sinister dastardly state they are in of sin. Hit them hard, Holy Spirit. That's the first mission. The word in the Greek for convince, which is a good translation, but convict is better. Elegho is the Greek word, which means, really, it means to shame someone. He's going to come and shame the world. He's going to come and disgrace them, convict them. Bring the court case against them to prove them to be in the wrong, and thereby bring them to an utter horror, disgrace, and shock, self-contempt at themselves, at their present state of sin by his preaching. So does that sound like the Holy Spirit to you? Absolutely, he's going to come and wallop them on something they're completely wrong about, the understanding of what sin is and their present state of sin. Now, anytime I talk with someone that's not a Christian, or you know, you do this too, you're out witnessing to somebody, you want to share with them about sin, they don't really treat it as very serious, do they? Nor do they think they themselves are sinners. They're pretty much good people, decent enough, maybe a few things that they could work on, maybe. They don't really realize that sin is as bad as it is. The Holy Spirit's going to, number one task, make sure that they are convicted and brought to utter disgrace, shock, and horror at their state of sin. Why? Because he's mean? No, because he wants to save them. But they have to first recognize their serious state. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did this. The Lord, the God of our fathers, sent persistently to Israel, that is, by his messengers, because he had compassion on them and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, till the wrath of God, of the Lord, rose against his people till there was no remedy. So what was the Holy Spirit's mission in the Old Testament? The same, only now he's going to do it all the more powerfully, convict them of their sin. But do people hear that? Do people want to hear that? Do they respond usually? It's one of the hardest things ever to do, to convince somebody that they're a sinner. Jeremiah 3 in the Old Testament, God told his people, you have a harlot's brow. You refuse to be ashamed. Have you not now just called me my father and you are my friend? That's what they said to God. God says, behold, you've said that, but you have done all the evil that you could. Look at how God's pleading with his people in the Old Testament. How can you say I'm not defiled, God says. How can you say I've not gone after the Baals? Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. God says, behold, I'll bring you into judgment for saying I have not sinned. And that's so true for the world that we're living in today. Most people, anybody that's not a Christian, does not believe, sin is, okay, I got a few things I could work on, pastor or a Christian, but no, I'm pretty good. I'm sure God will accept me. They need to know their sin. They need to be convicted of it. That's the Holy Spirit's job in the Old Testament. How much more in the New? And he is now poured out in power at Pentecost to Peter. How would you like to hear this sermon? This is Peter's first message by the Spirit. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, which you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Quite a sermon, huh? Was that there to convict them? Yeah, it was. Did they get convicted powerfully? In this case, they were cut to the heart. He slew them, struck them hard, and they asked the right question, which is what we got to bring people to ask. What then shall we do to be saved? What shall I do? And Peter and the apostles throughout Acts basically say, repent, call on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, be baptized, be saved. But the first thing you got to do is bring people to a conviction about their sin. And what sin is the worst of all? Jesus says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit will convince the world concerning sin because they, who knows it? because they do not believe in me. He's going to convict the world of their unbelief in the Christ. Why is that the worst sin of all? Because, guess what? Every other sin, save the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, can be and will be forgiven man if they but believe on Christ. If you're a murderer, if you've ravaged the church like Paul, if you've killed your own children like King Manasseh in the Old Testament, if you've practiced sorcery and witchcraft and consorted with demons and lived for greed and money and done evil of every stripe and kind and degree, all these, God says, I will pardon and I can forgive if you but believe on my Son, the Christ, Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has to convict the world concerning their unbelief in Jesus, because that's the one thing keeping them from salvation, and rather condemning them under God's fierce wrath to remain at war with God unto eternal punishment, which is hell, the darkness everlasting, the dungeon reserved for the wicked. So the Holy Spirit's number one job again is what? Convict the world concerning sin, especially their unbelief in Christ, because he's trying to save them. The second thing the Holy Spirit does here in the world, when he comes, he will convince or convict the world concerning righteousness, Jesus says, because I go to the Father. So what does he need to do? He needs to convince them about righteousness. What's that mean? Good Lutheran, right? What's that mean? It means they need to understand what kind of righteousness they need to go to heaven and be saved and enter the kingdom. What's the world's answer to that? How do you go to heaven? What kind of righteousness do you need? Pretty good righteousness, right? Need to be a somewhat decent fellow. Certainly not Hitler or a Jeffrey Dahmer type of person. You shouldn't be a serial killer. But most people, the world says, go to heaven. I mean, you die, you go to a better place, right? Everything's fine and dandy, and as long as you're generally a decent person and don't go, you know, killing people, you should get in all right. Thus says the world. But what shall we say? Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Holy Spirit, you are wrong. That kind of righteousness by no means ever can save you. The righteousness the world needs and we need to go to heaven is called perfect righteousness. Let's say that one together. Perfect righteousness. 100% pure, perfect, spotless, shining in glory. Perfect righteousness to go to heaven. The world says, nah, we don't believe that. But God doesn't judge as man does. Remember, Habakkuk, we read there that God has purer eyes than to behold evil and will not look on wrong. Moses says in Deuteronomy 32, the rock, God, his work is perfect. All his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness, without sin. Just and right is he. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 in the Bible, God is the blessed and only sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. You got to be perfect to go there. You're not going to get in there with any crimes on you, not a slightest filth of sin. You got to be perfect. So how do you get in there and have perfect righteousness? Well, Jesus said, I told you, I'm going away. You'll seek me and die in your sin. Where I'm going, you can't come. There's no way you're going to get there on your own, not on your righteousness. Thus says the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus says, I told you, you will die in your sins, would, because you will die in your sins, unless you believe that I am he. So if you believe on Christ, what righteousness do you get? His righteousness. God's, Jesus' perfect righteousness is gifted to you as a gift received by faith. Remember, when he went to the cross, Isaiah 53, all our sins were laid upon him there. He dealt with them at the cross. Then he transfers to you who believe on him righteousness. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted as righteous, and he shall bear their sins. So you need perfect righteousness. The Holy Spirit's number two job, he's got to convince the world. not only of their sin, but of the righteousness that only righteousness that avails for salvation, perfect. And that is Christ's. And it's found through faith in him. God will gift it to you if you believe. Romans 5. If through Adam's trespass death reigned through him, the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Do you have the free gift of righteousness on you today? Have you believed on Jesus Christ? Then he has reckoned you as righteous, perfect. You have the righteousness that avails. The world doesn't believe this, therefore the Holy Spirit comes to convince them that this is the righteousness, the only one that God will accept to receive you into the kingdom of eternal glory. So he's got to convince them of that. Third task of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince or convict the world concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. What does that mean? He's going to come. His mission, he must imprint and impress upon people's minds judgment. The judgment day is coming. In other words, I've taught you about sin, I've taught you about righteousness, and thirdly, you got little time to make right with the Lord. Judgment day is coming fast and quick, like a racing locomotive freight train heading right at you. You don't have long to get right before the Lord. He says, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, he's already judged. The kingdom of the devil, he is the ruler of this world, has already been convicted. Jesus says, the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me. And again, now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. In other words, the devil's kingdom has already been given a death blow. Christ, through his cross, has struck the weapons out of the devil's hands. His fate is already sealed, and the devil knows that his time is short before Christ comes on the last day and gets rid of him forever. The Holy Spirit's job is to come and convince the unbelieving world not only of their sin, not only of the righteousness they need, but also, don't side with the devil. He is God's enemy. He's shortly to be killed. Don't suffer his fate. Don't be in allegiance with him. For when Christ comes, the king on the last day, he will say to the wicked human beings at his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Rather, the Holy Spirit preaches, come to the king. He offers you pardon, peace, and a place amongst those who are saved in his kingdom. Be a Christian. Thus says the Holy Spirit. Now, has he had this effect on you? Have you believed in your sin? Have you believed on Christ for your righteousness? And do you believe judgment is coming? Then this is the good word to you, Colossians 1. He has delivered you from the dominion of darkness, transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But who in the world believes this? If you go out on the streets right now after the service and you go start preaching, judgment day is coming, O world, repent. Who's going to believe you? They're going to think you're mad or nuts, or you're some old-fashioned geezer from some ancient forgotten religion. But it's not. It's the truth. Repent, Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. John the Baptist said, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. That was so 2,000 years ago. How much more now? Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And James says, even now the judge is standing at the very doors, at the very gates of this world. Can you look up to heaven and see the dome about to be unveiled, and down comes the king? He's ready to come. So the time is late. Repent before it's too late, says the Holy Spirit. Third job. If he achieves these things, he saves a soul, which is his whole purpose, to save mankind and each and every person. Convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But then let's look at the next. These are short, but they're amazing. What he does for those who have believed, who have confessed their sins, called on Christ, received his righteousness, believe in judgment coming. What's he do for you? What's his mission? Verse 12, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say to you, apostles, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. For he'll not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. So what is that one? Would you say, Jesse, I'm calling on you because I'm looking at you. He will. Honest answer. Very good. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, will guide you into all the truth. That's his job. To you who have believed on him, he doesn't just bring you to infancy, saved, but then he sanctifies and grows you up into all the truth, that you are daily increasing in the knowledge of God, becoming mightier and stronger and more convinced of the truth as you go. Jesus says to his disciples, the Holy Spirit will say these things to you, but you can't bear them now. Why couldn't they? Well, they weren't really mature at all or brought rightly in yet, because when it comes to the cross, they had no idea why Jesus was going to the cross. This will never happen to you, said Peter. They didn't understand that yet. The resurrection, they didn't even believe until they saw him. Then even after that, they're like, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still looking for an earthly kingdom. They didn't understand it was an invisible kingdom in the hearts of men, that his visible kingdom only comes at his second return. The Holy Spirit would unfold that to him when he came. They wrote it down. We now can read it. We are called to daily increase in the knowledge of God until he comes. So that's why we come to church, to hear it. Bible studies, listen to other Christians. The Holy Spirit sharpening us as iron sharpens iron, as we hear people preach these truths, guiding you into all truth. Isn't that great? Don't you love that? You're growing in him. I know it. I see it in you. You're increasing in your knowledge of the truth. That's the Holy Spirit's job unto final victory. Number 5, verse 13, Jesus says, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. What's that tell you? Holy Spirit's mission in the world is to teach you about the future, about things that God has in store for you in the days to come, for the purposes of preparing you for hardships and for the purposes of making you excited for the prize of the goal to which you're running. Think about this. The book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit of Jesus gave to John, and he teaches us there, beware of the wolf, beware of the beasts, beware of the antichrists, beware of the dragon, the devil, beware of the hardships and the woes and the deceptions and the temptations that will come upon you in these last days. Know it ahead of time that you be fortified against it and persevere. But then he holds out to you the beautiful picture. The place to which you're heading is a new heavens, a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where like a holy city, Jerusalem will come down prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There in your future, God will come and dwell with you on the earth personally. You'll see him face to face. You'll be his people. He'll be your God. And he'll personally wipe each tear from your eyes. You'll be his people. And he's going to put away death forever. There's going to be no more pain, no more crying, no more sadness. These former things will all pass away. And he'll make everything for you absolutely brand new and sparkling in glory unto an everlasting crown and kingdom with him, where you'll reign with him forever and ever. Does that excite you? Amen. How do we know these things? You haven't been there yet in the future. You know it because the Holy Spirit's job is to declare to you the things that are yet to come, that you see them, that bright shining city over the horizon, and you run for the light because it's real, it's true, it's God's word, it's coming. The Holy Spirit makes you excited for your future. Sixthly, verse 14, Jesus says, he will glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. Especially, he's going to give you my salvation. But he'll in every way accent and glorify me, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, so that we see him shining in his majesty by faith. We bow the knee joyfully today. We leap for joy at his name. and we say, "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let earth receive her King." Crying with the angels, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing." So in everything, the Holy Spirit's job is to spotlight Jesus Christ in every aspect, that he gets the glory and also the increase of our joy. Finally and last, the seventh mission of the Holy Spirit in the world, and this is really beautiful, he's going to give you everything. "All that the Father has is mine," Jesus says. "Therefore I said, he'll take what is mine and declare it to you." Who owns everything? Jeannie, who owns the world? God owns the world. Why? For he's a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the sea. The heights of the mountains are his. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands form the dry land. He owns everything. Who does he give it to? Jesus. When Jesus conquers and is raised and reconciles the world to God, in these last days, God's spoken to us by a Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Jesus is the inheritor of all things. But then, the gracious, mysterious work of God is he wants to share that with you. "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us all things with him?" Are you heirs and inheritors of the earth, the heavens, everything that God owns? You are sons. And when you come of age, the Holy Spirit's job is to give you, with Jesus, everything God owns. Isn't that a marvelous mission? If we're children, says Paul, Romans 8, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we all may also be glorified with him. So the Holy Spirit's seventh and final job is to bring you to ultimate eternal victory, to sit you on the throne with Jesus in the world to come, inheriting everything God owns for eternal joy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, in conclusion then today, let's rejoice in the mission and the purpose and the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, to convince and convict people of their sin, of the need for perfect righteousness in Christ, and of judgment day which is coming, that people be saved. And then to those who are saved, to guide them into all the truth, to declare to them their future, that they run for it with joy, glorifying Jesus in every aspect all along the way, and giving us ultimately all things with him in the eternal kingdom to come. Let's rejoice today in the great mission, work, and job of the Holy Spirit to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, "What is the Holy Spirit's Mission According to Jesus in John 16? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, just south of the City Hall building. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.